Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 100-Year Real Estate Investor. We're your hosts, Jake and Gino, and this is a show dedicated to long-term personal financial engineering. Gino, how's it going?
Jake, I'm doing great. As I told you, I had a little beef jerky today, got my hair
cut. What kind of beef jerky? Something special. What was it?
It's Ricky's Jerky. Big shout-out to me and Ricky, part of the Jake and Gino community. I'll put it up there for you.
Honey, and it was like honey habanero or something? Wonderful.
Honey jalapeno, bro. It is yummy. Yummy-licious, man.
The next one is the honey habanero. But anyways, we have a very special guest today. Today's guest is the co-founder of Second 50 Financial and author of the soon-to-be-released Second 50 Achieve Financial Confidence, Increase Opportunity, and Leverage Vitality. Together with her team, she has developed a unique process to address the expanded needs of successful entrepreneurs. So without further ado, Kathleen Adams, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jake and Gino. It's really a pleasure to meet you both. I can tell this is going to be fun as well educational.
Yeah. Hey, we're gonna talk about Walmart greeters and everything later in life. So it's gonna be fantastic. But first, yeah, Let's hear your story and how you got started in business.
You know, I got started in a very different way. I was in a different profession and I just found that I needed a change. And so I changed later in life and I went into financial planning, went back to school at UCLA. But what I will say is what I've always believed is that people who start to retire don't focus enough on lifestyle preservation. They're focusing on, can I make ends meet? How do I do this? And is this going to be okay? I want people to focus much bigger than that so they can think about having an amazing second 50 years. And I also firmly believe in my financial planning practice that the advice that we give, the conversations that we have, are just as important as any kind of investing that you do.
So what kind of conversations and what kind of advice should people be listening to? I mean, you're seeing that people are getting, and you wrote the book, getting into their 50s and 60s, and it's like, wow, what do I do now? I mean, I don't want to be bagging groceries at Publix or being a Walmart greeter, like Jake said, when I'm 62. What should they be doing? And I like the fact that you said that your social media, you're starting to attract younger people, because I think younger people are hungering for the knowledge because they know that school is not teaching us this stuff. And obviously CNBC is just trying to be salespeople. So, I mean, what are your thoughts?
CNBC is trying to scare us because it sells, right? That's it. Yeah. Hey, doom and gloom is coming. Yeah. That's what we're going to subscribe to and buy. The optimism is not there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, there's so much conflict of interest in all this stuff that we're getting through the media, the advice, the opinions. It's all about something else for somebody, in my view. I totally agree with you. And the other thing, you talk about what you don't get in school. This is important because I did CFP. I did all these advanced designations. I went back to school at the Booth School. And I'll tell you, they don't place enough emphasis on what it really means to have long-term wealth. And I did not learn the things that I'm telling clients now and helping clients do is not what I learned in my education, in my programs.
Can you give us one example of that? I'm sorry to cut you off, but that is so Jake, I don't know if you know what a CFP is. I mean,
Certified Financial Planner, Gina.
Right. Like you, bro. You got it.
Because I do the podcast with you. That's why I know this stuff.
So give me one or two examples, because for me and Jake, honestly, creating wealth is not very difficult. It just takes a little bit of time. It takes a little bit of discipline, a little bit of effort, but it's not.
I don't know what world you've been living in.
Bro, come on. I mean, once you start, listen, honestly, Jake, once you start. And you
but take that's it. Those first 3 years.
Yes.
That's what everyone gets tripped up on, or just entering the space. If you can get through those first 3 years, life can become reasonable, but you got to put in the work and you got to do that sacrifice those 3 years.
Yes. So, Kath, what do you see is, like you said, the conflict of interest or those things that you were taught and it's like, it's not sitting so well with me?
Well, first of all, if you're in my field as a financial planner, wealth manager, it was always about stocks and bonds, right? Mutual funds, stocks, bonds, the market, et cetera. Fine. And then the other thing that was just pounded into our heads is that you had to use all these retirement plans. Now, I'm not saying that those are bad things. I don't, you know, I'm not negating.
Give us your opinion on those.
On retirement plans?
Just in general, yeah. Give us your opinion. This is the, hey, we take the jacket off and we shoot the shit here. So we keep it.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so I don't think they're all they're cracked up to be. So
why?
Because I think not everything is about today's tax dollars. So I think we have to be thinking long term. And, you know, I'm frustrated even with myself because of all my education, piling all this money into retirement plans. Now I want the freedom to do what I want to do with the money, and I have to take it out and pay taxes on it. And real estate is part of that. So I'm really frustrated, and I'm very careful when I'm working with clients to see what's in their best interest. Obviously, we have to watch taxes, but there are other ways, as you know, other ways to build wealth, big wealth, and manage taxes. And I think the biggest thing in my world right now is I believe people are going to live longer than they ever thought possible. That's why I call this second 50, not second half. How are you going to make a portfolio of stocks and bonds and mutual funds pay you a lifetime income and not run out? Very difficult.
So, Kathleen, a couple things. The first thing is what Kathleen is saying is pay for the seed, don't pay for the harvest. We're told to not, you know, put the money down and we're going to defer it all long term. Yeah, but you got $1 million in your 401k at 59 and a half. You really have 600 to 700 G's, people.
Exactly.
That's the reality. And then you have fees and all that. So when Dave Ramsey says 10%, you ain't getting 10% because they're charging 3 to 4%. And then what did the stock market do last year? Seventh worst year on record, people, down 22%. You know, and Disney's putting out crap and their stock is down 50%. You got no control. So we can go on and on. Roth IRA, I'm okay with that. But the rest of those IRA plans, I am not getting in bed with the government and them telling me what
the 529.
What's 529? I mean, kids don't go to college. What happens with that, baby?
It's a money prison camp is what it is.
Yes. So as you can see, we're not really big fans of that because for us, it's an opportunity cost. We want to invest that money. We are big proponents of whole life insurance. We think that's an excellent asset to own. We are big proponents of businesses. We think you should buy businesses and own businesses. And we all love real estate for what it's done for us.
I got a quick question, Gino. Hang on. So you mentioned lifestyle preservation early on, but you skimmed over it. And I'm loosely familiar with that, but can you elaborate on that, the intention?
Sure. So when we work with people, you know, we have to understand what they want to spend. That's what they want to know as well. And it's all well and good when you have a big revenue coming in from a great business. And when that revenue stops, wow, you know, it's very scary. So most people spend half their life creating money and then the second half consuming. Lifestyle preservation is what it started with my own dad, because he lived a fabulous lifestyle. He thought he had done everything right and it didn't work out the way he wanted. Lifestyle preservation is what do you want? You know, how do you want to be as you get into your second 50 years?
So he had a good career and then when he retired, it wasn't there. Is that what we're seeing here?
That's correct. There were a series of mistakes. He had a team around him for 30 years, but the right hand never looked at what the left hand is doing. So, you know, if you're working with somebody, if I'm working with somebody, I need to know what they're doing all around, right? With their tax guy, with their insurance guy, with their real estate people. We're constantly talking to mortgage people, property managers, as you know. So all of that matters. You need a team. But lifestyle preservation, Jake, is I want to do what I want to do. If I want to find
I don't think that's good enough for me, though. I don't want lifestyle preservation. I want constant lifestyle growth. And that doesn't mean I need to be all in 24/7, 365 when I'm 75. But I don't see any reason why my businesses can't continue to grow when I get them to a certain point and the machine is built and I'm monitoring the machine.
No, I totally agree. Yeah. So you have to, but what I'm saying is if you know what you want, that's
probably
lifestyle
step number
preservation.
One.
And you need financial freedom to do this. It's not just a matter of financing your required needs, which is what most planning is about. What you want to go for is financial freedom. And that's that. There's a huge difference. And that's what lifestyle preservation to me is about.
I think we should rebrand it right now on this show, Lifestyle Growth.
Okay. Lifestyle Growth. You know,
lifestyle growth from here on out. No, but let's not be meek about it, right? Like lifestyle preservation sends one message, but I think lifestyle growth is an alternative to just getting enough or just getting to, you know, buy, because guess what happens the next time, you know, the COVID virus releases and they decide to print tons of money and all of a sudden erode our currency. Well, all of a sudden you're left saying, shit, I don't have enough. So you're not really preserving. You gotta be in it. And I think the idea of everybody looking at the finish line, I'm going to retire. I'm going to get to the point and that's going to be it. Gang, I don't know how fulfilling that is.
Lifestyle is very fluid. So yeah. I don't think for a second that it's the lifestyle you lived in your 30s or your 40s is the same lifestyle you're going to want in your 50s, 60s, 70s. But what I want is that them to have the freedom that the lifestyle they want, not their required needs, are met. And I don't think even the wealthiest people worry. And I think the reason they worry and they have a mindset shift is because they start consuming rather than creating wealth during this time. And that, to me, is where passive income comes in so strongly. Or any income, if you're able to stay in your business and you love it, that's great. But yeah, I think income, it's income over wealth. Wealth is important.
Yeah, I'm 41, and I look to people pushing towards retirement. They want to get to retirement. And that's the end-all, be-all goal. But I do believe that for many people, your career, your position provides a certain amount of purpose and drive and fulfillment. And I think so many people looking to just exit are missing a bigger picture. And it's probably because they put themselves in the wrong seat. So what we need to do many times, I think, is look in the mirror, find a seat that's going to give us purpose, going to give us fulfillment, and strive for that while we're working on the money things. Because the two of them, and it doesn't mean, this is the one thing I want to get extremely clear on. Find what you love and you're never going to work a day in your life. Boom, bong, shit, bullshit. I call it out. I don't believe it. What I do believe, if you can find something you can be successful at that gives you fulfillment, it doesn't mean you love it. It doesn't have to be Pokemon cards or baseball cards or all this stuff that people say. I've tried it. I love fitness and whatnot. I tried to do some things in the fitness industry and I absolutely hated it. And I stopped wanting to do the things that I loved. So be careful with that. But I do think there's an intersection where passion and fulfillment can cross and the marriage is made where the money's coming and also the purpose and fulfillment in life happen. So,
yeah, you nailed it, because that's what Second 50 and what I'm calling the Second 50 movement is about. The beginning of it is financial confidence. Nobody wants to really talk about anything else unless they feel financially confident. So that's a very big piece. But the second is what we call opportunity expansion. So it's about if you have left what you've done your whole life, or if you're struggling and hanging on to something that's failing, what is it that's going to give you a day worth living now, right? So you can get up in the morning and you can drift through routines and enjoy certain things. But if you don't have, I mean, everybody gets tired of the word purpose, but it is purpose to something in this time frame in life.
Why get tired of it? Is it not there? Is it not real? Is it cliche?
I don't
get it.
Because people don't know what to do with it. So,
or they haven't found it yet.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That's true. They don't know what to do with it really. But then Jake, you've got to go on to enhancing vitality. By that, I mean, not just your mainstream medicine stuff, not your MDs and your Medicare and all the stuff that you normally do and have to do. There's so much more. This is the 21st century.
Talking like Botox.
You don't have to use Botox anymore. Okay. You can use a stem cell facial.
Yeah. Give me some of that.
It's pretty cool. But we can live a long time. We can live very, very high quality. We don't have to get dementia. We can get past cancer. It's here. It's coming. You have to write a check. So that's the problem right now, is your insurance isn't going to cover it. And it's another reason why I believe revenue and passive income is so important throughout your lifetime.
So you're basically saying that we don't have a equity problem or net worth problem when we retire. We have a cash flow problem when we retire.
Exactly.
And that's what you're trying to address. And I complete wholeheartedly. The scarcity mindset of the financial planner is, let me save a lot of money. And then when I get to be 7 years old, I have too much of a scarcity mindset. I can't even take that money out and enjoy it because I've saved it for a rainy day and I'm waiting for that rainy day and it's never going to rain.
I hate the mentality, Gino.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah. But Kathleen, this is an important question because we have a lot of younger people on here who are entrepreneurs and they may be starting out. How do you shift that mindset for them when they're younger so they don't have to get to that 50 and worry about it? Because you say you're attracting a lot of younger people. So what would you say to them?
Yeah. And I love that because they have so much opportunity right now. You know, and I think part of it is that you have to get over the fear that something like investing in real estate can bring because it's a bigger deal, right? And so it scares you. And you do need to work with professionals. You do need to have mentors. I would say you want to work with a planner as well. Now, it doesn't have to be me. You can find great planners all over. But what planners can do is help you look at it, how this income stream, how what you're doing right now is going to affect you long term. And it's pretty exciting when you start seeing that revenue going and building, plus tax advantage and continued growth on the property, you know, the equity. So honestly, I encourage my own adult children to go for it. Go for it right now. And I'm not a risk taker for, like if you have a family and you have a home that you're already taking care of, this is where careful planning and experts come in so that you can really put that picture together. But for those under 50, this is gold.
Assets with dividends, right? Get that cash flow.
It's
nothing
so
better.
Nothing.
Hey, how do I say this? We love frameworks. We love to put frameworks together and follow the yellow brick road. So I heard a few things. I heard health, purpose, vitality, financial. Is there a yellow brick road that you've created or an overarching framework to really lay the picture out for us?
We're putting together right now as a platform our processes for financial confidence around the planning side of that, I think are the best we've ever done because we've opened the door. We became independent to be able to do this. And we've opened the door to all the alternative forms of making wealth or growing wealth and income, which include businesses and real estate. And it's key. So the financial confidence piece is where we always start with clients and people that we're talking to. And then moving on to opportunity expansion, we're creating communities of people. So what we want to do is have, well, in my case, second 50 people coming back together. They've lost their connection in their community many times. So come back together, form the small groups, see what you can do again. See what.
Why did they lose the connection?
For many, we work with a lot of professionals and, you know, former executives. They've left what they've done their whole life. For some of them, a lot of their friends and cohorts have retired and they've stayed in. They just don't have the same community. So the connections change. And I'll tell you another thing. You get stuck in these little social groups and these friends. You all have the same mindset. You're not going to have novelty and you're not going to open your mind to doing something else. So with the second 50 groups, I want to change that. You know, I want to bring in resources. I want to help people get educated and give them a platform, tools, resources, et cetera, to have.
How does long-term mindset, the 100-year, you know, we have the 100-year brand here. How does that long-term thinking actually play into what you're talking about?
It's critically important. You have to think, plan, and invest differently if you're going to live with a 100-year mindset and beyond. And I think many people can. You have to change the game. The game has changed. And I don't think people are taking it seriously enough because so many people I meet, as you know, especially young people, are like, well, you know, yeah, I'll live till I'm 80. And they think that's going to be a really long life. People under 50, they're going to absolutely be able to live over age 100. So the long-term mindset is key to everything else that you're going to do. Because if you want to have an amazing life, you need to plan for it. My view.
What's your opinion on the current state of the economy and where things are headed? Because it's a very interesting time. Some people think this is a recession and it's in the shitter. Some people think, wow, this is great. The economy is doing so good. Where are you at and what type of advice are you giving your clients right now?
Well, we've got some excellent resources. We pay a lot of money to have their opinion and their analysis, and they don't agree. So smartest guys in the room can be wrong, right? What we're telling clients is we believe with the amount of uncertainty and volatility, we're going to have recessionary environments around us with pockets of good times. And because we can't control that, honestly, you can't know. What I do know is that
or is that from a time perspective? When you say like pockets of good times, are you talking from like a geographical perspective in the world and the country? Are you saying more from like a time perspective, like, hey, Q4, we're going to see, you know, a nice bump up and then, you know, stagnate down? Just to elaborate on that.
Right. Well, I think it's sectors of the economy that can do well in certain periods of time. It's certainly geographic because there are certain countries that are going to do way better than others. There's an unbelievable.
That's what Gino thinks about Florida. Gino thinks Florida's. Gino's bullish on Florida right now.
Big time bullish on Florida. Yes.
Hey,
yes, huge.
We had a whole crew of clients moving out of California because of taxes. So Arizona and California, Arizona and Florida became big time. But there's a geopolitical analyst called Peter Zion. He's pretty amazing. And so he is really shaping a lot of my thought process right now. He believes that there's going to be a lot of deglobalization. So a lot of countries are going to really go downhill for a while. Here's what I believe. I believe that we're going to have to pay attention to our personal economy instead of the general. We can't control the general. So if you're looking at your personal economy, what are you spending? What do you need? What kind of assets do you have available to invest? Where are you going to put them? That kind of thing.
But Kathleen, shouldn't we have been doing that? Shouldn't we have been doing that all along? I think the problem is that most of us are conditioned to say, hey, the government's going to help us out. But if we can have our own, and I think that's the misconception. Every single person on this listening to this is their own personal brand, and they are their own personal business. Whether you're working for somebody as a W-2 employee or you have your own brand, if you can take care of your finances that way, wouldn't we all be better off? I mean, that's the
Gino,
goal.
Gino, think about what she just said. Everybody used to just plow in. Everybody invests in the stock market. Then a recession comes. Everybody gets creamed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you do things a little bit differently and don't follow the lemmings, you can have a different outcome. I think
what did you learn, right? What did you learn from being in the stock market and have it crash last year?
Yeah.
I mean, well, did you learn?
Well that it's going to go back up, Kathleen. Stop it, Kathleen.
Yeah.
No, dollar cost averaging. Let's do that. I'm going to buy when it's really
Kathleen, we're going to kick really you off the show with these radical views.
It's so funny because I do believe in liquidity. So I know that people need to have a certain amount of money available to them at any time. I just don't understand how we were all
like Gino under the mattress. You're talking about like cash under the mattress liquidity or in the bank?
What Gino, no, you can get better yields now in money markets and CDs.
So. I like under the mattress. It's nice. I get to sleep with it. Jake, why don't you introduce
He's got Kathleen. It out back in the bird feeder like this Tony Soprano there, right?
Introduce Kathleen to the baby money soldiers. I think she would enjoy, I think, our simplicity in how to describe teaching financial, intelligence.
You want me to describe the baby money soldiers?
Absolutely. And let her understand.
Kathleen, we keep it so simple around here. We basically took the game of risk and we elaborated just a little bit because we got to include taxes and things. So basically what we do, we save some money. Then we took the money, the baby money soldiers, and we bought a property. And those baby money soldiers procreated. And they did it in the form of cost segregation, saving taxes. We talked about dividends, cash flow every month. We bought right, so then we were able to refinance into a non-recourse loan and pull some of our money back out. Then we have three different infantry groups of baby money soldiers, and guess what they did? They went out and bought another property. And they did the same thing and they multiplied again. They're horny little bastards. Okay. And they keep procreating and then going out and buying more. And it's very simple. And we do it time and time again. And then when we get a little bigger, we say, hey, we got a little liquidity. We're going to build up a little moat around the baby money soldiers, put some money in whole life. And that's what we do. And we keep doing it over and over and over again. It's that simple. You don't got to get nuts with this stuff. It starts with having a reasonable budget, saving some money, putting them into a real vehicle, and then letting that vehicle do its thing and have a long-term vision on it. You're going to have a couple rough years. You might have a bad property manager. I think you're alluding to, you know, managing the manager. That happens. But over a 10-year period, I take 8 really good years for the 2 that are a little bumpy because you had a water leak or whatever the case may be. So that's how we look at it.
And Kathleen, I think the important thing is that every single dollar that you earn in your life is a baby money soldier. And you're supposed to allocate that to something, whether it's an ordinary expense. Luxuries kill baby money soldiers, so they can't procreate, right? Being able to have some in reserve. You don't want your whole army to go out. So having some in reserve, we like to put it in whole life. We like to put it in savings. Like, you don't need to risk every single dollar. That's the fallacy that Wall Street has been telling you. And to be able to understand that in its simplicity, and then all of a sudden you start with understanding the strategies. But that's really what I think Jake and I's money is all about. He talks about Rambo having a knife, all those baby money soldiers going out there and conquering more deals and doing the refi and pulling money back. That's how you start. But you have to understand a spending plan is really, really important with this, and understanding early on that if you do kill your baby money soldiers through, you know, those luxuries, whether it's their cars or their other homes or their vacations that you can't afford, they're not going to be able to go out and do the work for you.
That is so well said. That is so well said and really well put, because I think that's what happens, especially with the under 50, when, you know, when they start to feel that wealth and that revenue coming in, it's pretty exciting. And, you know, oftentimes the first thing you want to do is spend it. And it's just not prudent. But I will say the other thing that I've seen and that I think is can cause a really big problem with real estate or with any outside investment is too much of the do-it-yourself. Because we've had people that, you know, they ran off after 2008 and they thought they could scoop up all these properties in various areas and they got involved in deals in Michigan. And, you know, you could spend $15,000 on a home and, you know, we'll put $10,000 in and then you'll get revenue.
There's a reason it's $15,000, folks. I'm just telling you. There's a reason.
$15,000 house. You can lose money with a $15,000 house.
But you've heard it, right? You've heard that?
Time and time again.
I mean, so that's what worried me is just, you know, you have to find the right people.
It's
you know,
a team sport, without a doubt.
Yeah. And other than that, yes. But that I think that's where a huge risk comes in is that people get too excited if there's that much opportunity and then they do it wrong.
I love that.
Talk to us about your company's values and how it formed and molded your current organization.
The company itself, the Second 50 company, our team is, I love our team. We always put family first. We're really, really big on this is not all about the business and the dollar. It's got to be family first. But the other thing is we are lifelong learners. Absolutely. All of us, you know, we're constantly evolving. We never rest on our laurels. And I'll tell you, we built up a really good business, but the skills that got us there are not going to get us to the future. And this is part of why we left and went independent. So lifelong learning, but that was the other one I was going to say, is we have a tremendous open mindset. So we're never stuck in one paradigm, because that's how a lot of my generation made mistakes. So, you know, you just better make sure that you keep your mind open, that you're a lifelong learner. For me, it's always been family first as well. And the other thing is freedom is key. So we don't have anything that locks anybody into place. We're always open into looking at what makes sense for everybody in the business on the team.
Wow. I'd love to dive into so many other questions here. But for me, because Jake, long-term mindset, growth mindset, I'm sure it's unwavering ethics. I mean, your values align so in alignment with what we're trying to accomplish.
Family, right, Gino?
Company. Yes, family. I've got 6 kids. Jake has got 3. We both homeschool our kids. Yes, we don't want anything from anybody. We want to provide for ourselves, and it's about responsibility. So your whole company, your whole mindset is really about 100% responsibility. You're being responsible for all of your choices, for your health, for your wellness, for your financial, you know, independence, and that's really, really important.
Ultimately, there's someone that may be on the brink of retirement. They had a liquidity event. They sold a company. Wherever they may be, the money's going to stop. They got the money in the 401k or whatever. Where do they start? Because if I'm that person, I'm scared to death right now, because I know how nice it is when the money's coming in, and having a pot of gold, which is paper and digital currency, essentially what it's becoming, feels okay-ish, but does not feel great. So where's the first place that person needs to go, or what do they need to do to get started in the Second 50?
Well, don't let this surprise you, but you've got to start it with a plan. You have to look at the whole thing, create this nice big picture, look at it, and then determine what you really, really want. And first and foremost, because I just said everybody wants financial freedom, but first and foremost, feel how you will designate, create the strategy to designate a certain amount of your assets and income sources towards all the essential expenses, because you are going to feel so much more freedom. If you have a plan and a strategy for covering those essential expenses, carve out what you can then use to do other things. The majority of the time, I feel, you know, when you're setting up those essential expense pieces, that it has to include income producing investments. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the stock market scares people to death once they get in that position where they've sold a business. They can't take it. They may have taken a zillion risks through their life with their business, but not when it's a finite amount of money. Doesn't sit
well. I want nothing to do with the stock market. I want zero to do with it.
Kathleen, last question from me. You guys are always focused on the Second 50. I'm trying to focus on the younger. When should somebody be looking for a financial planner at one point in their life? And what are the things that they should be looking for in a financial planner?
Look for a financial planner anytime, especially if You know, it's very hard in the beginning if you're just scraping by. So you probably wouldn't be able to utilize the services of a really good planner because you're going to pay a fee to do that. However, oh my God, it, like I said, if I had
limiting belief, they can afford it, Kathleen. Come on. You can't afford not to do it.
You can't afford not to do it. It's so true. It's so amazing when you start putting some strategy into what you're doing, what you can build. It's not about budgets. Everybody thinks you go to a planner and you're going to set up a big budget and throw this money into the 401k, et cetera, et cetera. It's not about that. It's really about a lifelong strategy. And for the under 50, as I said before, you guys are going to live a really long time. Set yourself up right. And also, if you're in the right age group and you're building wealth, you can set yourself to get out way earlier than my generation. And it doesn't mean get out to do nothing. It's get out to do something that lights you up if you don't love what you're doing. And like you said, Jake, who loves what they're doing all the time. But
hey, we're pushing for box 3, lifestyle growth. Me and you, we're going to tackle this problem.
Lifestyle growth. Okay, got it. Got it. Yes, I love it. Because I need you talking to my second 50 people saying it's still about growth. You know,
yes.
Stop drifting, stop stagnating. But for your under 50, you guys are in a position unlike any other time in history. You've just got the world at your fingertips. You've got, you know, regenerative medicine. You're going to live longer. You've got global connectivity.
Look at Stallone and Schwarzenegger. They look like they're 55. What's up with these guys?
Did you see Stallone and Tulsa King? He's 75 years old. He looks like he could be 50 to 55 years old in that show. I mean, he's just really white and all, but I mean, the dude is like...
Dude, he looks great. He looks fantastic.
So, you guys, you know, there's a conference coming up that I'm going to called Abundance 360. Have you ever heard of it?
Mm-mm. I've heard of Abundance 360.
With Peter Diamandis.
Yes.
So Peter Diamandis is involved with SpaceX and Elon Musk.
Yeah.
So I'm
he's
going
awesome.
To this conference.
I love his book.
Yeah. And it's like artificial intelligence, right? Biotechnology, the hacks, the people you're talking about that look great. You would not believe what people are paying for in the stay younger, don't age category.
I don't know. Looking at Stallone and knowing his net worth, I probably do believe it. But yes.
How about Tom Cruise?
Yeah.
Looks amazing.
I just saw he did a dirt bike backflip to parachute off a cliff himself the other day. I saw this. What a
he's
psycho. I don't know how old the guy is, but he's on this
now.
Ramp, does a dirt bike backflip, and it's actually him, not the stunt double.
I know. Isn't he
and
amazing?
And the producer and the camera pilot. Guys are going nuts. They're like, okay, run it again. And he did it a couple times. He didn't just do it once.
I see. He's unbelievable.
Psycho.
He's unbelievable, and he looks fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, people almost get angry because he looks so good.
Top Gun was phenomenal.
Maverick.
That's my boy. Mm-hmm. What's the place where people can go to find out more and tell us when the book's coming out and where they're going to be able to get that as well.
Okay. Well, just my website right now, you can definitely contact me or the team from the website, and the LinkedIn is great. I mean, LinkedIn is so easy if you're on LinkedIn to message. Mm. The book is going to be available. We're developing a landing page, but for the time being, just on the website as well, or Amazon. It'll be on Amazon.
Fantastic. So, gang, as always, we believe in buying deals for the long term. Think in decades. Keep growing, okay?
Keep growing.
Because we don't want to stop. We're not just preserving. We're growing the whole way. I'm Jake. He's the G-Daddy. That's Kathleen. And we make it happen. We'll see you next time. Thanks, Kathleen.
Thanks, guys.